All right, take your Bibles tonight. Open the book of Colossians, chapter 2. The book of Colossians. Colossians, chapter 2. Hope you had a good afternoon. And looking forward to our service tonight. Colossians, chapter 2. We're just going to look at one verse here this evening. Colossians, chapter 2, verse number 8. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 8. He says, "Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Right? Now, I want you to think about this. Whenever there's a word, or whenever there's a verse that begins with the word beware, that ought to tell you something, right? If you ever see a verse that begins with the word woe, kind of something's going on there, right? But when you see a verse that begins with the word beware, he's saying, look, you better pay attention to this. There's something I'm warning you about here. And he says, beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Now, there's two key things that I would say in this verse right here, right? The very first one is the word beware. Be on guard. Be careful. Watch out for this, right? Beware. And then, of course, there's the middle part we're going to look at. But notice the last part. He says, and not after Christ. So if what we're going to look at through these things, he says, if it's not after Christ, this is what you've got to beware of. When there are things that are being taught and things that are being done that are not after Christ, this is what you got to be aware of, okay? And so as we go through this, I want you to remember this verse here. Now, notice what he says, lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world. When you think of the word spoil, right, what do you think of, right? When you think of the word spoil, right, some of you think of like spoiled brats, right? Is that the first thing that comes to your mind? Spoiled brats, right? Sometimes we get this idea of being spoiled, like, you know, grandma and grandpa are going to spoil the grandkids, right? Or we think of just a spoiled kid, right? You want to be spoiled. You want to be spoiled. Okay, all right. So if you wanted to be spoiled, what would you say, what could somebody do to spoil you, Isaac? Buy you ice cream. That is a great young man right there, right? If you want to spoil Isaac, buy him ice cream. There you go, all right? Brady, what would you say? Give me money. He's honest, right? Give me money, right? So we got ice cream, we got money. What would you say?
Give you Lucky Charms.
Give me Lucky Charms. Hey, I like that. All right. You can bring me Lucky Charms any day, man. That's right. Yep. I expect those next week now from you. All right, what else would we say? We think of spoiling someone, right? How else could we spoil someone? Yeah, McKenna? What's that? Jewelry. Oh, jewelry, right? If a husband said, hey, I want to spoil my wife and I'm going to buy her some jewelry or something, right? These are some ideas. These are some things that we would say of spoiling someone. But you know, that's not what the word spoil means here. It's not what it means, okay? In fact, the word spoil here means to kidnap, to carry away captive, to captivate someone, right? So think about what he says, beware lest any man spoil you, kidnap you, carry you away captive. Now again, he's not talking about a physical captivity, he's not talking about a physical kidnapping, right? But he says, beware lest any man spoil you or kidnap you or carry you away captive. How? Through philosophy, right? Through vain deceit, right? Through the traditions of men, through the rudiments of the world. He says, beware, because the world is going to try to kidnap you. The world is going to try to spoil you, right? And so tonight we're going to look at spoiling our kids. Again, we're talking about having a biblical worldview. Again, we've got to understand which word the spoil is. Some of the kids are like, yay, pastor's going to talk about spoiling our kids. That means mom and dad are going to buy me ice cream and give me money and buy me an Xbox. Wrong, right? That's not the spoiling we're talking about tonight, okay? This is talking about captivating, kidnapping, taking captive. And he says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. A philosopher, we would say, is someone that is seeking truth. That's what philosophy is, right? It's the study of truth. A philosopher is a seeker of truth. But again, think about what he's talking about here. He says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, and then just automatically jump down to the last part of the verse, which says what? And not after Christ, right? So it says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and not after Christ. Again, philosophy is the seeking of truth. A philosopher is someone who is seeking truth, but truth is not found in human wisdom. Truth is found in the Word of God. Truth can only be found through Jesus Christ. And that's, again, why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? It can only be found through Jesus Christ. So whenever we come to try to understand something, it must come through the lens of Scripture. And this is what he's saying, right? Paul is warning the church there. He said, there are going to be those that will try to take you captive. They will try to kidnap you. Again, not physically, but your thought process, your mind, your ideas through philosophy, right? So again, it's not saying that philosophy is wrong. It's not saying that seeking truth is wrong. But if it is not after Christ, then it's wrong, right? Again, he says the vain deceits, the traditions of men, are all traditions wrong? No, not all traditions are wrong, right? But if the traditions are not after Christ, if they go contrary to what Jesus Christ has said, then guess what? Beware of them, right? Beware of the things of the world. Again, it's not the things of the world that are evil, right? I mean, it's not wrong to have a car. It's not wrong to have a house. It's not wrong to have a job. It's not wrong to have money. But he says we have to beware of the rudiments of the world if they're not after Christ. And so when we come to this idea of truth and finding out what truth is, right? It's very interesting how the world is going to AI and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, say what you will of it. I mean, there's no denying it. The world is moving in that direction. And it's interesting because AI, artificial intelligence, right, whether it's there's all kinds of different ones out there, whether it's ChatGPT or Google's got one and Meta has one and all these different ones have these different AIs. But all of the information from AI and everything comes from where? Well, where does that information come from? Somebody had to put it in, right? Right? There's not a computer just grasping at things out of the air, right? It's actually taking information that it's being fed and then creating all of this huge database and things, right? This huge idea. And so you can put in so many different things and you can get really interesting ideas on stuff, right? I mean, they even have AI now that you can help decorate your house. Have you seen that, right? My wife was trying that the other day. She's like, our living room really needs a redecoration. I'm like, I think it's fine. She said, no, we need to redecorate it. So she found out this AI thing. You can take a picture of it, and you tell AI what you want to keep. So she's like, I want to keep the couch, and I want to keep this coffee table over here. But everything else, the wall, the pictures and everything like that, the clock, everything like that can go. And so AI basically created a new living room for us. It was actually pretty interesting to see how it did it, right? Still not there yet in our living room, but it's very interesting to see how it's done, right? So I did something. I heard somebody make this statement, ask this question. I thought this would be very interesting to put into AI and see what comes up. So I did this yesterday. So I asked AI, ChatGPT, if you were the devil, how would you destroy the young minds of the next generation? Now remember, everything that is in this has been put in by people. By the way, I'm not saying that everything about AI is wrong. I'm not saying everything about ChatGPT is wrong. I mean, you can ask ChatGPT some things and they can come up with some really good ideas. I'm not saying it's all wrong. But I asked it this question. If you were the devil, How would you destroy the young minds of the next generation? And he gave me six things. I want you to listen to these things. Number one, promote distractions over substance. Overload them with shallow entertainment to diminish critical thinking and creativity. Is that not being done in our society right now? By the way, that was the only thing that I asked it. I didn't specify anything. I simply asked, if you were the devil, how would you destroy the young minds of the next generation? Here's the second thing it said. Encourage instant gratification. Normalize avoiding challenges, opting for easy and temporary rewards. You look even in our sport, everybody's a winner now, right? Everybody's a winner. Number three, erode real world connections. Replace face-to-face relationships with superficial digital interactions. I mean, so far, ChatGPT is 4 for 4 on this. I mean, this is exactly what's being done in our world today, right? Or 3 for 3. Number four, discourage independent thinking. Suppress curiosity and discourage questioning. Don't ask questions, just take what we say. Number five, cultivate negativity and fear. Amplify fear of failure and comparison-driven self-doubt through social media or social pressures. And number six, undermine values and purpose. Disrupt the pursuit of purpose by promoting materialism or nihilism. And by the way, nihilism is simply the rejection of all religion and moral principles. Six things ChatGPT told me. He said, and again, of course, it made some type of deal, like, I'm not the devil. But he said, if you were the devil, how would you destroy the young minds of the next generation? It gave me six things. And you can take every single one of those six things and you can see how the world is using it today. Do we understand the world is not hiding what it's doing? The world is not hiding how it's trying to destroy families. The world is not hiding that it is after children. It's after the young people. They're not trying to hide it. The problem is, we just don't want to deal with it. We don't want to face it. I mean, when you can have some app on your phone that has taken all kinds of information that has been put in by individuals, right? And by the way, I've taken the same ChatGPT and I have said, explain John 3:16 to me, and it has explained John 3:16 very well. Very well. And yet, it shows very clearly what the world is trying to do to corrupt our children. And this is why Paul says, again, obviously Paul is not writing to children here when he writes this in Colossians chapter 3, verse number 8. He's writing to the church. He's writing to the adults, right? He's writing to believers, telling us to beware of these things. But if we aren't aware of what's taking place in our society, then we're not going to be aware that they're trying to take our children and spoil our children. They're trying to indoctrinate. They're trying to teach children that there is no God. They're trying to teach them that, again, nihilism is, life is meaningless. That it's trying to teach that there's no religion, there is no morality, it's just, life is meaningless. So how do we help our young people, children, teenagers, by the way, even ourselves, because there's a lot of adults, Christian adults, that don't know what to beware of or how to beware of these things. How are we supposed to beware of philosophies? How are we supposed to beware of vain deceit? How are we supposed to beware of the rudiments of the world? How are we supposed to beware of these things many times we don't even know really what they are. And so this is what I want us to do tonight. Just kind of, I want to take one topic, right? I want to take one topic that I think is probably a very prevalent topic that I think everybody in here has probably heard about, right? And we're just going to try to go through and dissect this, okay? And then I want you to be able, so that you can take this same application, what we're doing, and take it with basically any other topic. And you can do this with your kids, you can do it with your teenagers, you can do it yourself, so that you can know what should I believe? Because again, he says, beware, because the world is going to try to teach through philosophy, they're going to try to bring vain deceit, they're going to try to bring all these different things to try to get people to move away from God, to move away from Jesus Christ, okay? And again, I believe we're seeing that very clearly in our society today, okay? So how do we protect our children? How do we protect our teenagers? How do we protect ourselves from these things? Okay? Again, that's why he says beware. Okay? So we're gonna take a topic, right? And we're just gonna basically kind of look again. We've probably mentioned this before, but we're gonna look at evolution. I think everybody has heard of evolution, right? And again, we're talking about developing a biblical worldview. Okay? So we're talking about evolution and creation, okay? Evolution and creation. Is the philosophy of this world evolution? Sure it is. Absolutely it is, right? So we're gonna look at this and see, again, just how are we to be aware of this, and then how do we, again, as the verse says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, traditions of men, the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ, okay? So we're trying to keep ourselves from being taken captive, from being kidnapped, from being spoiled, right? You ever remember the old military term, the spoils of war, right? It was, you were taking them, they belong to you now, right? And that's what he's saying, the world is trying to spoil Christians, okay? And spoil even our young people, right? So let's take this, right? Let's just look at the truth and the lie, okay? We're going to look at the truth. Again, we're looking through it through a biblical perspective, okay? We believe that the Bible teaches that God created the world and it exists for his glory. That's what we would say the truth of God's word says, right? That's the truth. The lie, and by the way, whenever you're trying to teach your children biblical principles, it's very important to help them understand what the world thinks, right? It's one thing to teach them that God created everything, okay? But don't try to hide what the world is trying to teach as well. Let them know what the world is trying to teach, right? Explain to them what evolution is. Explain to them what some of these other ideas and stuff are, right? Again, obviously, I understand there can be age-appropriate things, but you don't be afraid to show them that this is what the world thinks, right? But yet this is what God says, and go through the word of God with them, right? So the truth is that God created the world. The lie is the world came into existence by accident, or what the evolutionists and all these others call evolution, right? The Big Bang Theory, all of that, okay? So what does the Bible say, right? That should be the very first thing that we ask, right? In everything that we're looking at. It doesn't matter if it's in evolution. It doesn't matter if it's in marriage. It doesn't matter if it's in the family. It doesn't matter if it's in, you know, whatever. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? Again, remember he says, beware if it's not after Christ, right? If it's not after Christ, you better beware, right? And so if we look to the word of God and we find out what the Bible says, that's going to help us to know whether this is something we should follow or whether it's something we should not follow, okay? So what does the Bible say? I think one of the young people quoted it tonight, Genesis 1:1. What does the Bible say? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, right? The very first verse of the Bible, God declares that he created everything. God has created everything, right? Even if you go back to Genesis chapter 1, and by the way, I would encourage you to show them, don't just tell them, show them in the Word of God, right? But watch what he says in verse number 31. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. God says everything that he made was very good. God made everything, right? Everything that God made is good. Think about this. Go with me to Psalms chapter 115. Psalm 115. Look in verse number 15. Ye are blessed of the Lord which made heaven and earth. Even in the next verse, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. God says, heaven and earth belong to him. They're his. Why? He made them, right? So again, we're looking at what does God say. God's word, and all through scripture, you can find how God says he made heaven and earth. He made it all, right? He's made everything, okay? So first thing we need to find out, what does the Bible say about it, okay? Then we can look and say, okay, can we say other passages of scripture other than God speaking himself? And obviously we understand when I'm saying this. Every word in here is of God, right? Every word in here is God's word, okay? But what do people throughout scripture say about certain things, okay? What do other people say about creation, right? As for example, go to Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11. So in Hebrews chapter 11, notice in verse number 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. What's he saying? God made everything. God made everything from nothing. God made everything that we see from nothing. That's what he says. The worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. Right? So the author of Hebrews, again, we understand all scripture is given by inspiration of God. But even the author of Hebrews is collaborating and saying, hey, we know this is it. God's created everything, right? Go with me to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. Look in verse number 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. What Peter even says, this is something that people are willingly ignorant of. They don't want to believe that God made everything. They don't want to believe it. Peter says, hey, we know this is what's true, right? Author of Hebrews tells us, Peter tells us, hey, everything was made by God, okay? So we're getting more scripture, not just this is God himself saying in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, but even Peter, through the inspiration of God, even the author of Hebrews, through the inspiration of God, the psalmist in Psalms, through the inspiration of God, again, verifying and declaring that the world is made by God. Now, even the evidence that we have, the evidence is very clearly seen, right? Creation shows evidence of a designer, right? There's not just one type of tree. There's not just one type of bird, right? I mean, there's so many different types of trees and so many different type of birds and animals and all these different things, right? I mean, even a baby, right? You look at a baby and you see this is evidence of a creator, okay? This is not just some cosmic chance or anything like this, right? There is complexity, right? If you have a car, you don't just assume, right, that an explosion took place and all these parts came together, and now you have a car to drive, okay? You guys have the picture? Can you show the picture up there? I think everybody's going to know what this picture is. Everybody know what this picture is? Mount Rushmore. You guys know how old Mount Rushmore is? Mount Rushmore is millions and millions and millions of years old. And what happened was rain came down, and as the rain came down and the floods, as the rain came down, it started to eat away some of the rocks and things, and amazingly, what happened through all of this, through the sun and the wind and the rain, George Washington's face appeared on this rock. It took thousands of years. And then you have Abraham Lincoln's. There was a waterfall that used to be there, and that waterfall just kind of eroded. And then you say, Pastor, you are crazy. Yeah. No one in their right mind would look at this picture or go to Mount Rushmore and say, I think that just happened by chance. No one would. Not one person could logically say that happened by chance. But yet, they will look at the world in which we live in. They will look at you and I. They will look at creation and say, just by chance. Just by chance. No one would believe that. And yet, they have spoiled the world through philosophy. They have spoiled the world through their ideas and saying, hey, that didn't just happen. I mean, nobody did that. That's just a process of time that just took, years and years of rain and sun and wind, and that's what happened there. Not one person would believe it. And yet, how many people in our world today look at the world, look at the human body, look at creation, say, must just be by chance. Must just be some type of coincidence. Somehow it just happened over millions of years. I'm not trying to be mean or anything like that. If you've had a tornado that has damaged your home or property or things like that, I'm not trying to be cruel. But if a tornado went through a junkyard, right? A tornado rips through a junkyard. After it passes through, is there going to be a pristine airplane that is all put together, ready to fly? Of course not. If you've ever seen the destruction of a tornado, you know it doesn't put things together. It tears them apart. It destroys things in its path, right? It doesn't put anything together. How in the world can we think that somehow life can come from non-living matter? It doesn't happen, right? And so we see that God has designed, God has created everything in its place, okay? There are some questions that we can ask, even thinking about creation things like this, right? Where did intelligence come from? Now, you could say, okay, this just happened by chance, or maybe whatever, but there is obviously someone intelligent that was able to do this. Where did that intelligence come from? How was someone intelligent enough, smart enough to be able to know how to take a mountain and carve faces in the mountain? That intelligence has to come from somewhere, right? What is it that holds everything together? Do you understand that scientists cannot explain how our universe is being held together? Because, again, if an explosion takes place, do you know what that does? It shoots things all over the place. It doesn't perfectly form things rotating right around each other. I mean, there's so much about creation that God has done, just putting everything in its place, that they have no answer for. And yet, instead of believing God, they are going to believe the philosophies of this world. Where did energy and matter come from? How does complex rational life come from nothing? Again, evolution has no answer for these questions. But guess what? We can open up the Bible, we can take the Word of God, and we can answer these questions. And this is what we have to be able to do. Does the Bible teach evolution? No. not only is there no conclusive evidence for evolution found on the earth, right? I mean, they can't even find conclusive evidence on the earth. They talk about the missing link, right? Look, why can't they find the missing link? Because there is no missing link. Because it's exactly the way God designed it to be. Exactly. Now, are there varieties of species of birds? Sure there are, right? Are there varieties of species of dogs? Yeah, absolutely. But guess what? They're all still dogs. They're all still birds. You don't find them mutating into some other type of animal because they're exactly the way God made them to be. Nowhere in the Bible does it teach evolution. In fact, just the opposite, right? So what are we trying to do? We're wanting to make sure that we're taking the word of God. Again, think about what he says here in Colossians. Go back with me again to the book of Colossians. He says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." So we've got to ask these questions. What does the Bible say about it? Right? What does the word of God say? What is the evidence? What is the evidence? Again, the evidence very clearly shows us there is a creator. There's no doubt about it. There is a creator. There is a designer that has made this. Again, Romans chapter 1, the Bible says that God has put it in the heart of every man that there is a God. Every man knows that there is a God. The heavens declare the glory of God. Every man knows that. That's, again, why you can go anywhere around the world and you can find people that are worshiping a God. It could be a rock, it could be a snake, it could be the sun, it could be a cow, but they are worshiping a God. How did they know there was a God? Because God put it in every person's heart that there is a God. That's why he says in the book of Proverbs, "A fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." Because they are completely trying to deny exactly what God has put in their heart. They're trying to absolutely deny it. Okay? And so again, when we come back to the word of God, what does the word of God say? What does the Bible say? What does God say about this subject? Okay? What is the evidence of it? What does the Bible teach about these things? And then we can give a comparison, right? If we compare these two, if we compare creation and evolution, right? The comparison is that God created everything. Evolution says the world came from nothing, an explosion, a big bang, right? These molecules floating together exploded. Creation, God creates everything in 6 days. Evolution, it takes millions of years. In creation, human beings are special. They are the crown of creation. They are made in the image of God. You understand? With evolution, you're not special. In fact, in evolution, you're just another animal. You're just another animal. You are literally just like a dog or a sheep or a monkey. You're just another animal. That somehow you evolved a little bit more than all the other ones. There's nothing special about you. You're not created in God's image. You're just an animal. By the way, when you teach people that, don't be surprised when they act like animals. When you teach people that and you tell them, again, what are you doing? You are spoiling them. You're kidnapping them. You're captivating them by teaching them these things. And then what do? Then they simply act what you have taught them. In creation, death is the result of Adam's sin. Evolution, death was actually before sin. Because you have everything dying before man is ever even comes on the scene. In creation, God creates the world good. We read that, Genesis 1:31. Everything that God made was very good. But yet, in evolution, nothing is good. Nothing is good. Nothing is inherently good. In creation, the world was created complete, exactly the way God made it to be. In evolution, the world became what it is over time. In creation, your purpose, by the way, you have a purpose. Every person has a purpose, and that is to love, obey, and to serve God. In evolution, your purpose is to love, obey, and serve self. Just you. Whatever you want. That's why we've taken away punishment. We've taken away all these different things. Because it's all just about you, what you think is right. We've got to be able to take the Word of God and to take any specific topic, any topic, right, and be able to break it down. What does the Bible say about this? What is the evidence of this, right? I mean, there are so many things, especially what's going on in our society today, this whole issue of genders and stuff, and it makes me sick when you see people that have some type of platform trying to say that, you know, it's okay for men that think that they're women to play in women's sports. Look, that's wrong. That's just wrong. That there is men and there is women, period. That's it. There's man and woman. God, how do I know that? Because God said he created male and female. That's it. There's no other genders, right? Now, you know, a person can if they want to dress like another person or whatever like that, act like that, that's on them. But you're still what God created. You're either male or you're female. That's it. And what's happening is we're so afraid to tackle some of these things, even with our own families and with our own children. We're so afraid to talk about these things because it's almost like the world has convinced us that what we're thinking is wrong. The world's got us thinking that our ideas are wrong, and so we don't want to say anything, and so we'll let them make up their own mind as they get older. You are allowing your children to be spoiled. You're allowing your families to be spoiled. And this is what he says, beware. You've got to be on guard for this. You've got to watch out. You've got to realize, hey, the world is after anything that even resembles anything good. Christian, families, anything like that, the world's after it. And the devil's going to try everything he can to destroy them. We can't just sit back and say, well, you know, as they get older, you know, they'll find out some things, and you know, hopefully they'll make the right decisions. No, you've got to take the Word of God. You've got to take these issues. Whatever the philosophy of the world is, whatever the traditions of the world are, whatever the rudiments of the world, whatever these things are, these vain deceits, we've got to be willing to take them and say, wait a second, okay, this is what the truth is, and this is what the lie is. Look, friend. Look, I believe God died for every single person. Jesus Christ died for every single person. Every single one. God loves them, and we want them to be saved. There's no sin that is greater than another sin. Every one sin sends a person to hell. But it is a lie to try to tell someone that was born male to say, no, now you can become a female and be like a female. It is a lie to say you were born a female and now you can try to be a male and be like, that is a lie. It's a lie. But yet, we don't do anything about it. We don't take the Word of God and teach our children, our teenagers, hey, this is what the Bible says. This is what God says. And again, please take what the world says. And I think one of the reasons why we're a little afraid to do this is because we may not know every verse that the Bible says about a subject like this. That means we may have to study a little bit, even for our own personal benefit. There are things that we might be wondering, what does God say about these things? What does God say about it? Look, if you're not sure what God says, you better get in the Word of God and study it for yourself. Because if you don't, you're going to be spoiled. You're going to be spoiled. You're going to be taken. You're going to be kidnapped. You're going to be taken captive by the world's philosophies, by their deceitfulness. So, what do we do? Do we just allow them to keep indoctrinating our children and our teenagers and even ourselves? And again, they do it in so many ways. They're doing it in everything. Again, whether it's sports, whether it's in schools, I mean, they're doing it, whether in social media, in TV shows, in Hollywood, in music, they're finding every avenue they can to teach their philosophies, to push their agenda. And this is what Paul says, beware. You better beware. They're going to do it. By the way, it shouldn't surprise us that they do it. It shouldn't surprise us that they try to do these things. It shouldn't surprise us that they try to say marriage is not between a man and a woman. That shouldn't surprise us, folks. It really shouldn't. It's the world. But what is surprising is when Christians just stand by and do nothing. Instead of taking a stand and saying, wait a minute, hold on a second. That's not what the Bible says. The world may go that direction, but we're going to make sure that we know what God says about this, and we're going to follow God in this. But instead, we just let them go. This is why he says, beware. And again, think about what he says. Lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. It's interesting. In John chapter 1, in verse number 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. It's pretty clear through Scripture, through God's Word, what the truth is. It's pretty clear. And yet, we have young people growing up in churches, I hope not this church, we have young people growing up in churches thinking that maybe evolution is right. We have homes, Christian homes, thinking, well, maybe evolution is right. Wait a minute. You cannot search the Scripture and come to that conclusion. You can't. It is not possible. Because God says very clearly, this is what he did. This is what he made. So when you think of topics, right? These are things that we have to address. We have to sit down and say, look, this is what the world's philosophy is. This is what the world is teaching. We're going to sit down, we're going to go through these things, and we're going to look at what the Bible says. Because the Bible is true. In fact, the Bible actually says, let God be true, and every man a liar. So we're going to believe what God says, right? And we're going to see what God says about these things, and this is where we're going to stand. We're going to stand on what God says. If it contradicts what man says, so be it. We're going to stand with what God says. Are we willing to do that, though? Are we willing to sit down with our teenagers and young people and say, hey, these are the philosophies that the world is trying to teach? Right? This is what's going on. I would challenge you, if you have young people still at home, teenagers, young people, sit down with them and say, what are some things that you're hearing? What are some things that you're being taught, maybe by friends or school or who knows where they're hearing it from, but that you wonder, what does God say about it? Just ask them. See what they say. It might surprise you. Then I would suggest you ask them, where are you learning this from? Because if it goes contrary to the Word of God, you need to find out where they're learning it from. And then sit down with them and help them to show them what God says about this. Again, even for you personally, if you're saying, there's some things that are going on I'm just not certain about, then you need to go to the Word of God and say, all right, what does the Bible say about this? What does the Bible say? I had a young lady emailed me, and my wife, she said, hey, I've got some questions about these things, about what the Bible teaches. I gave her some scripture. I said, you need to go through these scriptures, and you need to go through them and see what God says about it. It can't be my opinion. It can't be, well, you know, First Baptist Church says this. No. It can't be that. It's got to be, what does the Bible say? What does the Word of God say? What is the truth? That's where we need to stand. So let me ask you very quickly as we're finished up. What would be some philosophies that this world is trying to teach, that this world is trying to push, that we need to sit down and say, all right, these are things we need to go through, because if we don't, the world is going to spoil our children, our teenagers, our homes, our churches. You know what's sad? That there are, I guess you can call them churches, right? There's religions that are letting homosexuals be pastors. That's wrong. It's just wrong. It's clear, scripture, right? So what are some things that we would say in the philosophies? What are some dangerous philosophies and things that the world... By the way, the reason why I point out evolution is because it's a lot more dangerous than what most people think. This whole evolutionary process is, it's so much far more dangerous than what we can ever even imagine and what they're trying to do through it. Complete denial of God, right? What would be some other things? What do you think? Landon? That laziness is okay, right? I think, was that not in kind of one of those six, right? Instant gratification, normalize avoiding challenges, opting for easy and temporary rewards. Laziness is okay, right? What would be another one? Rachel? I'm sorry, what's that? Yeah, purity before marriage, right? What does the Bible say about that? It's very clear what the world thinks. Should there be purity? Well, that's just an old thing. Wait a minute. What does the Bible say about it? It's not whether, you know, what did grandma and grandpa do? No, it's not about that. It's what does the Bible say? What does God's word say about it? Right, Rachel? What's that? Yeah. Parental authority. What does the Bible say about parental authority? Right? And even raising your children to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, right? The other, Rachel? Sanctity of life, right? Abortion, right? What does the Bible say about it? You say, does the Bible really talk about these things? Yes, absolutely. Now, it may not use the word abortion, but God talks about the sanctity of life very clearly. Oh, she took yours, Ms. Brennan. Everybody has their own truth. Truth is relevant to what you want it to be. No, it's not. I remember when I was a kid growing up, and I would ask my dad or my mom, "Hey, can I do this?" "No." "Well, they get to do it." My dad said, "So?" "Well, if they get to do it, why can't I do it?" "Because I'm your parent. You don't live in their home, you live in my home." You know, truth isn't just what we want. It's not what we desire. It's what is actually right, right? And we've got to be willing to help our young people understand these things. Corey? Christian lives and Christian beliefs are what? The enemy of modern society. Yeah. In fact, they're trying to say, well, you know, those of you that hold to the, I don't even know the term they use it now, but the nuclear family, you know, you're trying, that's destroying society. They are teaching that what we hold to as the Bible is actually destroying society, destroying the world, right? When it's actually just the opposite, right? We're trying to hold it together. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, foul language, what comes out of our mouth, right? What do we say that comes out of our mouth? Again, the Bible says it's supposed to be grace, right? We're supposed to speak with grace, love, and compassion, right? Okay, Sari? Yeah, basically you're your own God. You see, we understand many of the philosophies that the world is teaching, but are we actually sitting down and going through them with our families and in our churches and saying, hey, we better beware of these things? Just because the world is pushing it, again, and I'm not saying that everything the world pushes is wrong, right? I'm not saying that everything the world comes out with is wrong, but we've got to compare it with Scripture. We've got to find out and say, what does the Bible say? Now, I will say there's not a lot that the world comes out with that's right, okay? There's not a lot because, again, they're going against God. Okay? But we've got to be willing to sit down and say, all right, what does the Word of God say? We have too many Christian families and homes that are just, they're just trying to get through, but they're not really actually sitting down and saying, all right, what does God say about this? They'll ask, what does society say? What does my community say? but not what does God say? And that's where the truth of the matter comes in. That's where we've got to nail it down. What does the Bible say about this? Okay? So again, think about what he says here. Beware. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Everything that we do in our lives, everything we do in our home, everything we do in our churches ought to be done to please and honor Christ. And we've got to understand, the world is after our families, the world is after our marriages, the world is after our teenagers, the world is after our children. He says, beware. Because if you're not careful, you're going to find that they're going to get spoiled. They're going to get kidnapped. Not physically, but they're going to get kidnapped through their philosophy. They're going to get captivated by the philosophy and the things of the world. Oh, this sounds better. Wait, it's not about whether it sounds better or not. It's about what is right. It's about what is true. And that's our responsibility. We've got to help them understand what the Bible teaches. Father, I pray you'd help us, Lord, in this. Lord, the world is trying to spoil our churches, trying to spoil our families, our marriages, trying to destroy and break up our homes, trying to despoil our children and our teenagers. Lord, we've been given your word so that we can know what is true. Your word is truth. And so, Father, I pray you to help us to get in and study it. Lord, get in and go through these issues. Go through the philosophies that the world is trying to teach. Say, all right, this is what the world is teaching, but this is what you have said, God. And we're going to stand on what you have said. And we're going to trust you that you are right. So, Father, I pray that you would give us families and homes and churches that would take a stand upon your word and just recognize that the world is against the things of God. The world is trying to spoil our homes and our children and our families and our marriages. And Lord, we have a responsibility to beware, to be on guard for these things. Lord, you've entrusted us with so many different things. Lord, I pray you'd help us to be good stewards of it. Lord, we have many young people here. I pray that they would look to your word. These teenagers, these young adults, these young people, that they would look to your word and, Lord, have a desire to trust you, that you are right and you are true. The world is always changing their philosophies, but God, your word never changes. Your word is true. Lord, I pray these young people to have a love for your word and to hold to it and believe it. Lord, even though the world may oppose them and even though friends may oppose them, Lord, they would have a love and a desire to trust you and to be in your word and to follow what you have said. So God, I pray you to help us with these things. Lord, just give us wisdom. Lord, as parents and adults, Lord, even for ourselves, that we would know and study your word to know what you say about these things, that we would have the right convictions and things to believe. Because if not, Lord, we can be spoiled just like anyone else. And so, Father, I pray you to help us in this. Lord, we need your help. We need your spirit leading and guiding us in these things and helping us, Lord, as we study your word and find the truth in it. Thank you for your word, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.